If you could please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the others? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that anyone who declares in what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God. They are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defines them."
Morning. It is good to be together today. Did y'all enjoy that little bit of rain? My house got an inch and a half, so that was good. And I did get to mow the grass, so I didn't have to worry about it becoming 3 foot tall before we got to it. Well, before we get into our lesson this morning, let's have our prayer together, please. Our Father, we are so very grateful for all that you do for us, for everything you have promised, for who you are. Father, we are amazed by how you take care of us. And even in the moments when the rain comes, oh, Father, it feels so good. And we know it's so good for all of us. We're grateful for what you've given us. We ask, Father, that you'll help us to see those moments in our lives when you provide just what we need, when you refresh our souls, when you help us to learn to love. Help us, Father, to draw close to you, to trust you more, and help us to encourage each other to be present for each other, so that no matter what the day brings, Father, we're looking to you, and we're living here in a way that honors and glorifies you. We look forward to that day, Father, when together we'll be before your throne and rejoicing on all the good that you've done for us. But as we wait, Father, help us to live today with joy and with the hope that you've given us through your Son. It's through him that we pray. Amen. You know, one of the goals I think all of us reach for is to be able to be described as having a great faith. There's a centurion that comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said, "I'll go with you." And the centurion's like, "No, I know. Let me tell you what. I have authority. I tell this man to do this, and he does it. And this man to do that, and he does it. So I know if you just say the word, my servant will be healed." Jesus tells him, it's done. And Jesus turns to the crowd and says, "I haven't seen a faith like this in all of Israel." He's got a great faith. You know, the idea that Jesus would look at anyone and say, "Oh, now there's faith." For most of us, I think we look at our faith and we go, I want so much to be there, but I'm not there. We look at all the things that get in our way, that wall. It's like we get to look over this wall and see those folks who have gotten there, and we're like, "Oh, it would be nice to be over there, wouldn't it?" Wouldn't it be able to be described as having a great faith? To live like that, trusting God, knowing whatever he says is what is. And we know that the things get in our way, sometimes we wrestle with our own hearts. I don't want to have that in my life, but it's like, oh, if I could just get rid of that. We wrestle with, you know, our lack of understanding or our lack of knowledge, thinking if I knew more, if I understood more, then maybe I could get there. We wrestle with all of these things that just feel like the circumstances of life so much where we go, oh, I would love to be there, but I'm not there. And so we look at our lives and we go, you know, if we could just do something to help us so that we wouldn't have these things, those things that keep us away from God and having that great faith, those things that hold us back to where we really don't have that trust. Now that's, I think, what we're going to get into when we get into Matthew chapter 15. There in our reading, so we got this, some Pharisees come up to Jesus. Says, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. When I read that, you know what I think about? I think about those nice little signs in every restroom and public places that employees must wash hands before they go back. And we're hoping they all follow that guidance. We think about our children. We tell them, before you come to eat, you need to go wash your hands. And we hear the water run, and they come back out, and it doesn't look like anything's changed about their hands. They say, no, you got to go back. You need to wash your hands. We think about dirt and grime. We think about germs when we wash our hands. For them, washing hands wasn't about getting rid of what's dirty. It was making sure that they were staying ceremonially clean before God. The NLT, I think, gives that idea better for us to understand that. Where it says, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. See, they feel that as ceremonial hand-washing. Now, that gives us a little bit better of a picture that it's not, they weren't in there trying to get rid of germs. They weren't in there trying to get rid of dirt and everything on their hands. They were dirty. They were there because they wanted to make sure that they stayed ceremonially clean before God, which mattered for them. Because what they were trying to do is they looked at what God told them and say, how do we make sure we do what God wants us to do? So like in Leviticus chapter 11, 44 to 45, it says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Already we've got to ask, how do we do that? For them, they're wrestling with that. Do not make yourselves unclean. Now there's the phrase they wrestled with when they talked about washing their hands, being unclean. And so, by any creatures that moves along the ground, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. And we look at that and you think about it, and they've got to wrestle with that. God says, be holy. And they're going, how do we do that? How do we make sure we never touch anything unclean so that we can remain proper before God, where God looks at us and goes, that's what I'm looking for. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 31, you must keep the Israelites separate from things that make them unclean, so that they will not die in their uncleanness for defiling my dwelling place, which is among them. Again, God's telling them, don't be unclean. And so when we look at that idea of hand washing in Matthew 15, that's what they're wrestling with. How do we make sure we're not unclean? And part of it, their ceremonial hand washing is they, you know, like, what have you touched? You know, anytime Cambry comes in from outside or doing anything, and she reaches up and grabs a hold of my shirt or me, you know what I worry about? What did I just get on me? Any child, what do you have on your hands? Let me look at them before I let you touch me. And so we know that we want to be clean, and that idea of trying to avoid that. For them, they're going, I don't know what I may have touched accidentally. I don't know what I've come in contact with. And so to make sure I don't become unclean, I want to make sure I have the ceremonial hand washing to make sure I stay clean. And we'll kind of do the same thing because we'll wrestle with that. That idea of what do we do? How do we live out what God wants us to be? Because we're told, be holy as I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, God tells us that. Be holy. How in the world do you live holy in this world? What do? We know there are things we want to avoid. So I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be somebody who is honest and truthful. I don't want to be somebody who gets all caught up in dishonesty. I don't want to have that. I don't want to get caught up in sexual morality. I don't want to get up with lust and greed. All these things that when we go through and read the things that God says, stay away from these things. Live holy. Be my people. And we look at that and go, how do I do that? How do I live that out? How do I make that part of who I am? So it's easy to understand why. How do we get there? And so we start wrestling with filling in the gap. And part of that is that we'll start making for our own lives the idea of, well, I shouldn't do this and I should do this, and we make a list. Now, when we get into it, we start to realize that a lot of those things that we carry around thinking this is the way we stay holy before God are things that we got taught by our parents, and they got taught by our grandparents, and it's been passed along a little bit. You know, there are some of us that can remember when to walk into this church building on a Sunday morning. Ladies, what were you expected to wear? A dress. And if you didn't show up in a dress, what happened? Now, some of y'all may be too young to know that. But you felt the expectations of everybody around you. Now, wearing a dress isn't terrible. Now, I made that general, didn't I? It sounded like all of us should be wearing a dress when we walk in and be okay. When, you know, ladies wearing a dress isn't a terrible thing. But when is it that we all of a sudden it became a should? And it became an expectation. Now, y'all may be thinking, are we supposed to be wearing a dress now? If you look around, you'll see that we've got ladies in dresses, we've got ladies in slacks, we've got ladies in jeans, and we're all good. But you hear that the struggle was, how do we live so that we are reverent before God, that we are who God wants us to be when we gather up together? And all of a sudden, we made a list of things. This is how we do that. I tend to wear a tie on Sunday mornings. I know they wouldn't bother y'all if I didn't have a tie on. I've been doing it so long, I don't know if I would know what to do with myself because I didn't have a tie on. I can take my shoes off and be comfortable. I don't know if I could be comfortable without a tie. But see, there was an expectation many years ago that was just, when you walked in, fellas, you better have a coat and tie on. And if you were up here, you definitely had to have a coat on and a tie. So we know those things come up, and what it is wrestling with, how do we do this? How do we live this out to make sure that we are who God wants us to be? Now, the challenge in all of that is when we have those expectations, when we have all of these things that are told, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, to try to live out what God wants us to be, is that those expectations can sometimes cause us to feel shame. Because, I don't feel comfortable walking in here with it. I've got my head stuck on dress, and I don't feel comfortable walking in here with. I don't feel comfortable walking in here wearing a dress. I'll tell you that. When the ladies walk in, and some, if you've had those expectations, there are some of the women who walk in going, I don't feel comfortable walking in on Sunday morning without wearing a dress. You hear the expectation that they feel, that burden that they feel. I don't know many men that go, you know, I can't walk in without a tie. Most of the fellows are like, I'm good. I kind of like not having that noose around my neck. So we know that those expectations can weigh heavy on us, but it's all in an effort to try to be who God wants us to be. And for them, that tradition was all of the efforts they were making to make sure that they stayed unclean. Now, the problem in all that is what it led to for them. Now, we're talking about a great faith. Can what we wear on Sunday morning cause us to not have a great faith? It doesn't have an impact, but sometimes our expectations can trip us up. And so whenever Jesus, in answering about this idea of unwashed hands, later on in chapter 15, he goes, you know, look, it's not whether you wash your hands or not that make you clean or unclean before God. It's what goes in, not what you eat, what you put in your mouth. It's not that defiles them, but what comes out of their mouth. This is what defiles them, because what comes out of the mouth is what comes from your heart. And so he says, it's not the washing of a hand that changes you. It's not that that's what God is worried about. What God is worried about is what's going on inside of you and who you are. And see, part of their expectations, part of all this structure of the rules they put together to try to live out to be holy, they added things that got in the way of them being holy. And so he says, and look, you've made some rules about, look, God told us, plain and simple, honor your parents. Just plain. And he says, and if you curse your father or mother, now this is pretty heavy duty, isn't it? Scared the kids. For them to curse their father or mother, brought them out, they were stoned, put to death. He says, but what they had put together in all of their rules was they said, you know, if you dedicate what you have to God, you go, sorry, Mom and Dad, I am just so holy. I've given everything I've got to God. I've promised it to God. And so I can't help you. And he goes, you've taken your tradition and you made it more important than what God said. And y'all catch the problem with that one? All of a sudden, instead of being who God wants us to be, we've let the way we've always done something, our traditions, our expectations, our rules, get in the way of becoming who God wants us to be. You know, our faith, our lives, in every way. And they made what they've got going on more important. And so he says, he quotes Isaiah, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Do you see? He says, you're doing things that you think are good and right, but the reality is your hearts are not in it at all. You've just taken the form and you missed what matters. To go back to Jerusalem. Sorry, ladies, I guess here I'm picking on y'all a little bit. I guess not too bad. But you think about it. We get together on Sunday morning and you come in wearing a dress. Does that make you who God wants you to be? Can somebody come in wearing a dress and miss who God wants them to be? And somebody come in wearing jeans and be who just in their heart who God wants them to be? So it's the heart that God's going to look at. You know how many verses God gives us in the New Testament about how we should dress on Sunday morning? None. And we'll talk a lot about it, but there are none. What God talks about for us is to say, hey, what's going on in your heart? Who are you? And that's going to matter more than anything else. And so we see what they were doing and we go, man, it's terrible what they were doing. Without realizing he's talking to us as well. Because what we have to look at is, do we allow our own rules and traditions keep us from being who God wants us to be? Now, the thing about our expectations, you know the thing about how we always do things? Is it feels pretty comfortable. You know how long it takes us to start to realize this is the way we do it? I can tell you, Camber already knows what the routine is to be. She's known that for a good while. We go downstairs to her class, she knows right where to go. When her class is upstairs, she knows right where to go. If you try to do anything different, well, try to skip a meal time with Cambry and you'll find out. You know, anything in our lives. And we get grown and we're still the same way. You try to change something on us and we're like, wait a minute. We've always done it this way. This is the way it has to be done. This is the way it should be done. And we'll get all fixated without realizing, wait a minute, is this got what God really wants for us? Is this what matters most? We'll start with the principle. And then if we start layering on the should and the shouldn't and all these kind of things, we've made it a burden to carry. Let me make this distinction. If you honor God by what you wear on Sunday morning and you feel like I want to honor God by wearing a dress, I want to look nice, I think God says that's good. The challenge is when you start telling everybody else, you have to do what I think has to be done. There's where we get into trouble. Because if God hadn't said it, let's keep in mind, this isn't God, this is from us. And we'll do that in all kinds of ways. That we have our idea, our expectation of what ought to be as it comes together. And so, you know, it feels good to do what's expected. It feels safe to do what's expected. It's pretty easy because you don't have to think about it. You know, there are things, when you don't have to think about it, it takes a whole load. I see y'all, some of y'all call me a little bit, what was the term? OCD, I think. Because I can tell you what I'm going to be wearing the next few days out of my closet. Have everything lined up and I just pick what's next. Then they go to the end of the line. And it's like, you know what I don't have to do in the morning? I don't have to think. That sounds kind of bad, doesn't it, that I don't think in the morning? But you think how our traditions do that for us. They allow us just to know this is what's expected. I don't have to think about it. I can feel right about it. I don't have to feel guilty, because to do otherwise feels wrong when I've had that going on in my whole life. There's just a few verses later that Jesus says this. They get over across the lake, and Jesus tells them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now the disciples get all hung up going, we forgot bread, didn't we? And Jesus is going, y'all are missing the point. Because what he tells them, it's not about bread. It's not yeast and bread he's talking about. He says against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He gives a warning. Now you think, well, what was the big deal about that? But see, he gives that caution, because there's some danger here that gets us away from what God has in mind. Now, that's where I wanted to be, verse 12. We get away from what God has in mind when we get too overly focused on the way it's always been, our own rules, or the expectations that don't come from Scripture. And so what we need to do, we look at that and say, what's the big deal about it? Well, if we take what Isaiah says and we make a structure where it doesn't involve our hearts at all, it's just about a form and appearance, we've missed completely what God has in mind. And you know what we'll do with expectations? We're really good at it. We'll have churches get divided over expectations. We'll have our hearts taken away from God by expectations. We'll have all kinds of trouble to come out of it without realizing we've missed what God wants in to begin with. So what do we need to do in all of this? Let's ask some questions. What do we get out of this? Because we can talk about, I wash my hands most of the time, so I'm doing okay. And so he's not talking about washing hands. What am I doing with my heart? Because that's what's going to matter most. So our first question is that we need to wrestle with, what are we doing in regards to other? Are we loading expectations on other people that we shouldn't be putting on them? Are we putting the burden of that expectation of, you know, you should be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. And unless we can tell them, you know what God wants for you is this, and we can give them a verse, we got a different thing going on there. But our own idea. Because in Matthew 23, Jesus talks about the problem of those expectations. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Have you all ever felt like you've had other people's expectations loaded up on your back and it's just weighing you down because you've got all of this given and they're living just fine? And we've got to ask ourselves, are we giving other people a burden that they don't need to be carrying? The other question is, are we focused on what God says matters? Now, he's not saying, is this your intent? I want to be holy, so we do this. That's a good intent. But to look back and say, am I getting where God wants me to be most? Because he emphasizes some things that matter most. I could have picked a better verse, but this will be all right. Because we can sometimes think, I'm doing some great things for God. And God goes, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It's easy to go, Lord, look at all the good things I've done for you. Look at how I've stayed holy. Look at how I've been righteous. And he's like, you missed the point. Because he says, you know, clearly, Jesus says, you know how people will know you follow me? When you love each other. Are we missing that one? Are we loving like God wants us to love? Are we united how God wants us to be one? Are we living out a life that shows that he is at the center of our lives? And people look that there's somebody. There's somebody who is so good. I can tell there's something different about them. The thing about rules, expectations, is they never can change a heart. can't change hearts. And that's what we bring before God, is our hearts. Now here's a pretty good challenge for us, because when we, the Pharisees, the same trap we can fall into, the Pharisees couldn't see this about themselves. They couldn't see where they got off track. And for us, we have to know, are we able to see truth about ourselves? There's a syndrome called Anton syndrome, and it's very rare. But it's a condition where there is somebody who is blind, but they do not think they are blind. You know, they are physically blind. Can't see anything. But if you ask them if they're blind, they will tell you, no, I can see just fine. They'll walk into a wall and say, oh, that was an accident. And they'll keep going. And you're looking, why in the world can they not just say they're blind? Anton syndrome is they're blind, but they don't know it. And for us, part of the challenge is that challenge. Did I say challenge twice? Where we know, we believe we're doing okay, but we can't look at ourselves and see the truth. Rules helps us try to build a facade that everything looks fine. Faith is being able to go before God and say, Lord, this is the truth. This is who I am. This is how I've messed up. Here's where I struggle. Here's where I hurt. And God says, there is a great faith. Because our faith is not us getting all our ducks in a row. Because we know that's not possible. Faith is looking to God knowing He is our hope. He keeps His promises. And the only way I am ever going to be who God wants me to be is because I am trusting Him to get me through day to day. Now maybe today you find yourself in a spot where it's been a challenge to make that honest admission, and you need prayers and encouragement to help you do just that. And maybe it's today where you can go, you know, I have put off because I've been telling myself I'm okay, and to put on Christ in baptism. But if there's anything that we can do for you, we're here together. Won't you come as we stand?